This is your NPR News Station, 90.3 WBHM, 91.5 WSGN. I'm Esther Chalmakili. Income inequality is rampant in Alabama. In Jefferson County alone, the top 1% of wage earners make 25 times more than the remaining 99%. Experts say there are three factors leading to this disparity that ultimately creates, in some cases, insurmountable obstacles to prosperity: educational opportunities, poverty, and crime. We talk about this with Nick Patterson, editor of the weekly newspaper Weld. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Esther.
So let's break these down one by one, starting with education. How does educational attainment contribute to Alabama's income inequality?
Well, if you think about the fact that education is usually a way out of poverty for people because it enables them to find a job that pays a wage that allows them to live a life that is free of the want and the lack that poverty brings. And you can see why, if you don't have a good educational system, for a lot of people, that's going to be a barrier. It's going to be a continual barrier as long as they don't have any kind of education really to help them out of that. There's a study that we cite from Harvard that shows how in former slaveholding states like Alabama, it can be particularly difficult for people to get the kind of education they need to rise to a higher income level.
So let's put this into context, this educational attainment. How does, let's say, the turnover rate for Birmingham City School Superintendent affect educational opportunities in the city?
Well, as we've talked about before, if you don't have good leadership or solid or stable leadership at the top, then that means it's going to affect how the school system is run. And that's going to affect all sorts of programs that could be put in place. It's going to affect the momentum of the system in terms of going forward, enacting measures that could consistently move the students up the educational ladder, so to speak, and improve the state of education in the city. And of course, some people have pointed out and pointed out in this story as well, it's not a quick fix. And so with such a quick turnover in superintendents, you really need a system to be in place for years to correct this sort of age-old hardened problems that exist in the school system here.
And Weld cites in this article that Birmingham has had 8 superintendents in the last 20 years. Let's talk about the budget for education in Birmingham. How does it compare to other cities?
Well, Randall Woodfin, who's on the Board of Education, who's also running for mayor, mentioned that in Huntsville, for example, they have a budget that is actually lower than the budget in the city of Birmingham. Huntsville's budget is something like $303 million, and it gives the school system there $20 million. And Birmingham, which has a $425 million budget, the schools, as he says, have to beg for $1.8 million.
So what about crime? How is crime related to income inequality?
Well, if you live in a poor area, there is a belief or perception that there's going to be a higher crime, and that typically turns out to be the case because if people aren't able to afford to buy things, they sometimes will steal them. It's not that simple. It's not to suggest that every poor person is going to steal, because certainly that is not the case. But it does put people in a situation that makes it difficult for them to avoid crime, difficult for them to avoid crime among other problems that exist for people who live in poverty. When you consider the crime rate in the city of Birmingham, you can see how the income inequality plays into that, the inability or the lack of mobility people have to move out of neighborhoods where the crime might be higher, and just the lack of ability for people to really better their conditions without criminal activity.
So aside from the typical public education experience, is there anything out there to help residents who live in poverty attain a better education, or at least more job training?
Well, there's certainly a lot of people who are talking about the need to do that. And there is an interesting program highlighted here in this story from the Housing Authority of the Birmingham District. The Housing Authority actually has a scholarship program that they make available to everyone who lives in one of their housing communities. We feature a young woman named Darnetta Herbert, who actually took advantage of that scholarship, which is funded mostly by contributions from employees of the Housing Authority. And she took advantage of that scholarship. It helped her get out of the projects and move into an apartment and get an education.
Nick Patterson is editor of the weekly newspaper Weld. Their latest issue is out today. Nick joins us most Thursdays during All Things Considered here on WBHM. Nick, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us, Esther.